Amen. Amen. Thank you, choir, and I thank the Lord for the power in the choir, singing, praising the Lord. Amen. Going to 1 Peter this morning. We're going through 1 Peter, verse by verse.
Amen.
We're going to get through one verse today, but it's a great verse.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to preach really from the subject of the pursuit of holy living. Pursuing holy living. 1 Peter chapter 1. Start at verse 7. And I'm going to read to verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And verse 13. And we get to verse 13. Really pay attention to verse 13. That's where we're going to rest at this morning. Great verse. So stand if we can, in honor of God's holy word, and the word that's able to set you free. The word that's able to empower you for any and all persecution and affliction you will suffer, or you should be. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the revelation of God through Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you for the trial of faith given to us to test us, to make sure we have what we should have. Thank you for equipping us, and Father God, continually to equip us for the challenges that we will face as Christians, those that are saved and born again. Father, we pray for the message today that some lost soul would realize they need a Savior. We ask that you be with us, be with us all. Give us an attentive ear today. Calm the children. Calm the young people. Let them know how important it is to hear God's word. And then, Father God, give this pastor the ability to preach it in a clear and concise way, that the youngest child in here will get an understanding. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But the pursuit of holy living, and it's something that we have to pursue. We look at Peter, and we look at the book of Peter. We see that in verse number 13, and we rest there. We see that word, wherefore. And what that word wherefore is there for is just to remind them that based on what has happened, what has God has done so far in the lives of these strangers, these pilgrims who were in Asia at this time, they were being persecuted for standing on God's word. But Peter is going back to them and reminding them that what you're being persecuted for is worth it, based on what God has done for you. And we've seen that in verses like number 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They were reminded constantly of who they were. I always think about the halftime at sporting events, and now we're in March Madness has gone and is coming down to the final two teams. How about that conversation at halftime at any of the games that have been played that have been close? Imagine being in the locker room with that team that's maybe trailing by 2 or up by 6. And that coach must have been adamant, begging, trying to get every ounce of energy out of his players, knowing that this season they played over 30 games and almost 40 games, and the many of them are tired. But he's trying and begging to get the very best and the most out of these players. Here's what Peter's trying to do. He's trying to get the most out of these persecuted believers. Mm-hmm. Trying to get them to continue to fight for what they believe in, for what has been taught to them. And you see in verse number 13, you see a wherefore. He says, based on everything God has done for you, and many of us can look back over our lives and see clearly the goodness of God in our lives. Even though we may be like Sister Pinky facing chemotherapy, she can still look back and just look at her grandchildren and her children and see the times that she may have been struggling and God got her through. And you can rest on that. And you know, personally, if you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you know God's grace and mercy in the life of the believer. All many of us in here, we can say like David, that I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. And you can rest assured as you go into that booth or that place where you're going to have that chemo, you can rest on that. You can rest on that. God's going to be with me. And I know it. He's been with me all this far. He ain't going to leave me now. But we serve that kind of God. And this is what Peter said to these folks. Just don't quit. Because the sinless and the godless world will constantly persecute the believer. Amen. It's just in their DNA. You're going to hear. That's why they call him the accuser of the brethren. But if we're going to pursue holy living, if we're going to be the people of God we ought to be, when we stand before the God, we look at him as the song said, face to face. Face to face. And when we stand and we stand before the Lord, and we have to be able to stand. Amen. And we have to be able to stand on Jesus Christ and what we know about Jesus Christ, because there's where the line of questions is going to come. Amen. What about my son? Amen. What did you do with my son? We need to have three things. And we find three things in verse number 13. A new mindset. See, you get a new mindset when you come to the Lord. See, you leave one team and go into another. We just seen all the free agency. When one player leaves of one team, the players that left the Browns and they went to the Denver Broncos, they're not taking their Browns uniform. Okay? They're not going to be wearing that on Sunday no more. They're going to have a new uniform, a new playbook, a new mindset, a new way of traveling, a new way of doing things. And the second thing we're going to talk about is a mental sobriety. We talk about being sober. We immediately think about being drunk or being intoxicated and the signs and the symptoms of one that's intoxicated. But you can be intoxicated by the world. Amen. You can take so much of the world in that you can be spiritually intoxicated. And then we want to sit here and talk about our focus on the future.
Amen.
A focus on the future. The man and woman of God that knows the Lord can have that lively hope. Have that hope. Michaela was asking me, talking to me this morning about hope. And she said, well, I hope this. I said, well, you know, you want a hope, a stronger hope.
Amen.
You don't want a fairy tale hope.
Amen.
Okay, you don't want to hope one day you meet Miss America or one day you be something great. Base your hope on something that's solid and firm.
Amen.
Future hope based on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. Let's look at this first one. Verse number 13. He said, wherefore, based on all that God has done for you, how he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, how he delivered you and saved you and empowered you. He says, based on that, gird up. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, if I say lions, y'all just hang in there with me. Because for whatever reason, when I look at that word, I just want to say lions. And I've said it before. Y'all got on me about it. I'm being trying my best not to say lions. I'm saying loins. He said, gird up the loins of your mind.
Amen.
You know, I like this. One thing I like about being a pastor, I go to these functions, picnics and different things, and now I've learned over the years, I wear street dress shoes. I wear dress shoes and I wear like a walking suit, you know, like Roy and I, we wear the walking suits. And one thing that does, it stops my young nephews from trying to call me out on a basketball court. And then after I do that, and then I come home and my elbows hurt, my knees hurt, back hurts. So now I dress up when I go to functions where I know they're going to be playing basketball and stuff. You know. So I don't, you know, I did it the other a week ago, and you know, and Ray get a chance to get a good shot at me, you know. He take it. And we was playing basketball and I had little Michael and Ray and Josh, and he was just trying to pound me. I didn't let him know. I got in and I looked for that blue bottle. That blue bottle of a leaf. Okay. But I let him know I'm not geared up. I'm not girded up. When I show up, I'm not girded up. I'm not prepared for certain things. Okay?
Amen.
Jake was moving yesterday, him and Jackie, they were moving. You know? There's a way you show up to dress when you're moving. You don't want a guy coming over with, you know, leather loafers on and shorts and here's what Peter's saying. He's saying to this new believer, gird up. Gird up the loins of your mind.
Uh-huh.
Why is this necessary? Because you're getting ready to deal with something. You're getting ready to go through. You're getting ready to go through a warfare. You're getting ready to go on a journey. You're getting ready to run a race. See, we're not girded up as believers. I think about the Windy City. Anybody ever seen a commercial of Chicago on a windy day? Umbrellas flipping over backwards. Women with skirts, they holding on to them because it's just everything just blowing. And that's a picture of the church. We're not girded up. And we just blow all around. Word of God says in Ephesians, by every wind of doctrine. We don't want to test nothing. We don't want to judge nothing. We don't want to say nothing. We just take it. And what Peter is saying here, we need to have a new mindset. We need to be girded up. I like in Acts 12 and verse number 8, Peter was in prison. Remember Peter was in prison? Peter was such a man of God at this time. He was asleep. He was on death row. He was going to die the next day. And the Bible said the angel found Peter asleep. Asleep. Now that could be you get two pictures out of that. He could be just careless, carefree, don't worry. Or he could be strong and girded up in the Word of God, knowing full well that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But the angel tells Peter to gird up. And I like this verse. It says in verse number 8, and the angel said unto him, Peter, chain the two Roman soldiers, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So you can tell a lot about a child of God. by what they're doing. Because see, this angel did not loose Peter for him to just to play games. He had more work to do. Peter was content. If he'd have died, he'd have been with Christ. But this angel freed him for him to be used in the kingdom, used to continue to preach the gospel message. If you follow this story, you would find Peter again out in the marketplace doing what? Doing the same thing that got him in prison. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. He told him to gird up. We look at the Proverbs 31. I've heard a lot of sermons on Proverbs 31 woman. I look at Proverbs 31 and 17. You know, the Proverbs woman had two strengths. And this goes for the Proverbs 31 man. We ought to have two strengths. It says in verse 17, she girded her loins with strength and she strengthened her arms. So we see this woman was not only strong physically, she was strong spiritually. When it says she strengthened the loins with her strength, that means she was girded up with strength. She took care of not only her physical health, but she took care of her spiritual health. And see, as believers, we gotta watch what we allow to penetrate our spirit man. Because the Holy Spirit is man. Okay? It says. We have to watch. So we may say, well, I don't go to bars. But if you're watching all these movies with bar scenes in your house, it's almost like you're there. You gotta be careful what we allow into a spirit. The Proverbs 31 woman did. It says she girded up the loins with strength, and then she strengthened her arms. She strengthened her arms because she had some physical work to do. She took care of business, took care of the home. And how you doing so far? She wasn't conformed to the world, Romans 12:2 say. She wasn't conformed to the world. She didn't let the world's patterns and the world's, the lifestyles of the world penetrate her. How many ever sit there and then even news go off and then Entertainment Tonight comes on and you get caught? I get caught watching it. And I'm just sitting here like, whoa, what did I just get hit with? You know, what did I just get hit with? And then if I watch another half an hour, I sit there and nod off and I wake up and nasty Steve Harvey's on. There was a time I used to enjoy watching Family Feud. But now all the questions are, if anybody ever noticed, they're nasty. Everything, all you can only watch with your kids. Okay? Name five things you can do with a pole. See, that's the kind of stuff. And then you got to be careful with it. If you're pursuing holy living. If you're not, then those things are not going to affect you. The Spirit's not going to quicken in you and say, man, I shouldn't be watching this stuff. You don't have nothing in you. See, you got to be prepared for service. Gird up means you were prepared. Remember the story in Exodus when they were preparing for the Passover. This is a great story. Exodus 12 and 11. And it said they were prepared and ready to go when Moses gave the order. It says in verse number 11. It said, and you shall eat, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They were to be ready. They were to be ready to go at the command of Moses. How about us? Are we ready to go? Are we girded up? Are we girded up in our mind? Are we ready to go? Are we ready for the challenges that we're going to face? Or are we going to buckle? Are we going to buckle? Remember Gideon? Gideon started off with a mega church. 32,000 folks. And I really think this is true. I really think if you looked at some of these churches that boast about having 30, 40,000 members, I think this would be true. And this is biblical. You look at Judges chapter 7. Here's Gideon. He's going out to fight this mighty battle. And he's praying and asking God to be with him. Gideon had a mighty army of 32,000 men. And God said, Gideon, got too many. If you take all 32,000, you'll take the glory. And I won't get it. So he said to Gideon, he said, tell your men, if any of them are afraid and scared and not willing to die for what they believe. And I think this is true. I believe if you get into this church here, if somebody come in here, I always tell the story about the church in Russia. It was an underground church, and they were having services, and then a masked man came in, had the AK-47. They said, all you in here not willing to die for what you believe, leave right now. And just about everybody in the church left. Four or five people still there. And the soldiers put down their guns and said, now we can worship. Gideon said, all of you just scared. He went to his men and said, all of you just scared. Don't want to die. Not willing to fight what you believe. You can leave.
Amen.
Know how many left? Somebody know the story. Started off with 32,000. Know how many left? 22,000. How many you got left? 10,000. So you can have about 5 Bentleys and a $5 million house with 32,000 members. You drop down to 10,000. Now you got 1 Bentley and your wife got a Lexus SUV. But you still got 10,000. That's a nice sized church. And that'll get the bills paid. I said, Gideon, you know what? Still got too many. I can't work with them. Yeah, you know what you need to do now? You go down by the river. That man is thirsty. Let him get real thirsty. Feed him some hot food. Like I fed the boys last night. I had them boys toasted last night. They was eating that chicken. I had heated it up. They was thirsty. He said, get them real thirsty. And he says, take them to the river. And all those that bow the knee and drink, send them back. Send them back. But those that get down and lap the water like dogs, you keep them. So he's down to 10,000. So when he got to the river, 9,700 of them bowed down, you know, real gingerly, and probably got their little cup out and wiped it off and dipped it. Ooh, that's good cold water. God said, you know, send them back too. Send them back with the 22,000 cowards. Now he's down to 300. Now you're down to grab the caddy. And get a caddy with 300 members. We had 300 members. You had 300 members. Here's what Spurgeon said. I thought this was interesting. Spurgeon said this. He said, the lappers were the men in haste for action. Full of passion for war. Oh, please, Pastor, there you go again. I'm just going through the Word of God.
Thank you.
This is a warfare. If you haven't found that out yet, this is a warfare.
Amen.
I'm at war right now. There's things going on in this room right now that I might not see, but there's some stuff going on up in here.
Amen.
There's a warfare. Somebody might be saying, this brother gets on my nerves every week. He's talking about battles and wars and fighting. This is a fighting book.
Amen.
This is a fighting book. I looked at Jude and I was talking to the men. I'm bouncing around. What are we going to teach on Sunday night? But then I looked at Jude. I thought about Jude. And the Bible said that Jude told his people to contend for the faith.
Amen.
Once given. One twice given. One three times given. It was once given. And a lot of folks don't like it. They don't like that once given. They like, well, you know, Paul didn't know what he was talking about. He hated women. He was just this way. And the Word of God, that was back then. Well, all of it's back then. The book 2,500 years old.
Amen.
So if you don't believe all of it, you don't believe none of it.
Amen.
Let me say that again. If you don't believe all of it, you don't believe none of it. If you don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, you don't believe none of it.
Amen.
It's just in there. If you don't believe Peter walked on water, then you don't believe the Bible.
Amen.
300. Spurgeon continued. He said, the lappers. Oh, the church. What goes to the church? Need some lappers. You know, we need some lappers. We need some lappers. We need some folks that are in haste for action, full of passion for war, men who could not rest. till they had smitten their cruel oppressors. Such men, this is Spurgeon, such men the Lord will work with.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. I know. Y'all get the pastor all cranky today. Listen, most church folk, they have enough passion to bash the pastor. They ain't going to bash the world. Somebody get mad. Oh, I like Steve Harvey. Oh, I like Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, I you know, there's nothing wrong with that or nothing wrong with this. Where your passion at? That's all. Where your passion at? Is it for the things of God or for the things of the world? See, we amen the things of the world. Them folks can't do no wrong. We know Tom Joyner show. I listen. Christians come in and listen to the Tom Joyner show all the way to work. I'm like, man, that's interesting. You got a 45-minute drive to work and you listen to Tom Joyner show all the way in. Nothing wrong with Tom Joyner show. Really? Ever? I'd rather listen to 1440 or 103.3. Almost a word in me. Because I'm heading to the battlefield. I'm heading to the battlefield. I was watching some movies with the boys. I did warrior movies. I was like, just doing a warrior kick today. But I was watching this movie with the boys. It was called The Greeks Against the Spartans. And they was going at it. Cutting up everybody. And I'm watching this thing. And once they got done battling, you know what they did? They went back to their camps. And then when they was on the sitting on the ground, healing their wound, band-aids, the ones that survived. And then they was sharpening their sword. They were sitting on the ground sharpening their swords. And you know, I spiritualized everything. And I want you to get to the same point. I just want you to spiritualize everything. See God and everything. I'm watching this thing. And I said, boy, ain't that like the church? We out there, we didn't got hit. We didn't got hit. There are going to be some casualties. You're going to take some blows. You on the battlefield. We sing the song. You ain't taking no blows. But be careful. You might be giving them out. Sharpening their swords. That's what we do all week, sharpening our swords. We come home from work, had a hard day at work. Some of us got some hard jobs. Got to work with some hard folks. You know what you need to do? Instead of cussing them out and getting mad at them and recalling off, go home and sharpen your sword. Sharpen your sword. Go home and sharpen your sword and say, I'll be back tomorrow. Because see, what the enemy wants is to see the believer frustrated and discouraged and depressed and call off. Now come back to work with a sharpened sword. And get the cutting. Get the cutting. Paul, Peter said, did you know the need to be prepared? We see we need some diapers. When God called the boys, John and Peter and them, they dropped them nets. Oh, they dropped them nets. They got busy. I sit there and I thought about this. Fascinating story. I didn't get to watch much of the March Madness, but I seen this. Arizona lost by 1 point in overtime. Those folks were so passionate. They rioted over a basketball game. And the basketball game wasn't even in Arizona. The basketball game was in Anaheim, California, and they was at the bar. Well, you know, nothing good happens at the bar. So they was drunk at the bar, and they lost by 1 point, and they set a riot in Arizona. And if you go to YouTube, I thought it was so fast. One guy standing there, and they pelting this guy with pepper balls. And these things hurt. And he's standing for the crowd. He's walking right at the officer. Go on YouTube, it's just worth seeing. And you can see the ball exploding on him. This is pepper spray. This guy was so drunk. And then they hit him with about 10 balls. You can see him bouncing off of this dude. What kind of passion is that? Misdirected. Oh, I would love to have that guy in here. With that kind of passion for the Lord, man, I wouldn't have to worry. We could have vacation Bible school 12 months with 50 of them kind of guys. I mean, the pepper balls didn't have no effect on him. Oh, what passion the sports world has. What passion. Then the church comes to the church and, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Really? Huh. That kind of love. Crazy kind of love. Look at Jesus. Same, talking about the same thing. It's a constant theme through the Bible. In Luke 12, 35 and 38, here's Jesus. Same principle. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And Jesus is saying this. He said, when I come home, listen, although the outward man perish, the inward man is burning. It's hot. Okay? You get them pains. I talk to y'all all the time. Get them pains. That's a reminder. You're getting out of here, folks. You're leaving here. Enjoy the pain. Some folks ain't feeling pain this morning. Okay? Some folks ain't feeling pains. So when you start getting a little ailments, you know what? Get that light burning a little lighter. Let folks know. Because you're leaving. Sooner or later. Jesus said, let your light continue to burn. Listen. Gird up. Let me give you an illustration. This one gonna stick with you. This one gonna bother you for the rest of your life. Maybe hopefully not. Hopefully this trend will stop. But the next time you see a young man, or even a young woman now, sagging. See, they sagging. They got their pants down and look like they got a big diaper on. And they sagging. Think about this. As women of God, men of God, am I sagging? Spiritually, you looking at him physically, he's sagging. But we call ourselves men and women of God. Are we sagging? Are we girded up? Are we girded up? Are we sagging? Spiritually. Spiritually. Are we sagging? How about this? Remember Lot? Pastor Lot. Pastor Lot. Sodom. Christian Missionary Baptist Church. 5 members. Genesis 19. Pastor Lot going crazy, I call this. All hell getting ready to break out in Sodom. The angels that came to Sodom. And they didn't just blinded all the homosexuals in Sodom. And they didn't told Lot. Say Lot, Pastor Lot, Bishop Lot, whatever. Did anybody in this city to hear the word of God to get out of here? Lot said, yeah, I got my brother and sister Lot. Let me read it. And Lot said to them, and the men said unto Pastor Lot, hast thou here any besides who in the house? Son-in-law and thy sons and daughters and whatsoever thou have in this city, bring them out of this place. So that the angels knew who was in that city belonged to Lot. Okay? For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. That ought to be ringing true today. And I always say, you know what, if God don't strike America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah a big apology. And Lot went out. Now this is me. Okay? This is me. I'm pastor. Word of God come to me. Elmer and Sharon are going to be the first house I stop at. Because they live close to me. I wonder what would happen. Everybody say, Pastor Neil, going crazy. He outside knocking on the door talking about all hell get ready to break out.
Amen.
The Liberty Police come get me. And Lot went out, he did, and spoke unto his sons and law, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.
Amen.
But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. My. Does anybody even believe the preacher anymore? Anybody even hear the preacher anymore? Think about it. How's your faith? How's your dress? Are you girded up? Are you ready for battle? Or you just sit back and relax? Sit back and relax. It'll all pass. You know? We go to church. We really don't really believe all this stuff. It's just something we've been doing all our lives. We going. I'm going to church 35 years. This seat smell like me. Listen, somebody asked this question, Pastor. I really do need to gird up. I need to get serious about this thing. I need to gird up. How do I do it? Good you asked. Good you asked. Ephesians 6:14. He said, finally, my brother, I'm in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. Talk about being girded up. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do you be strong in the Lord? You got to get to know Him. You got to get to know Him. You got to get to know Him. He says, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Young people, put on the armor so that you will be able to stand. I sit there and I think about these boys in my household right now. There may be greatness, spiritual greatness in the house. I don't know. There may be a great man of God out of the four that I have. Don't know. Heard up. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We really need to know it as a church. So the battles are going to come. They're going to come. But you got to stop looking at the person. Don't look at the person all the time. See, sometimes we look at the person. Oh, I can choke her. Oh, I can choke him. It ain't the person you're trying to choke. It's the spirit that's working in that person. And you can't choke no spirit. He's the author of confusion. So when you have confusion, whether it's on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night, Wednesday morning, at work with a fellow believer, it's the spirit that you're dealing with. He's an accuser of the brother. He's the author of confusion. When you got confusion in your marriage, don't always look at your wife. God loved marriage. So if God loved marriage, you know Satan hated it. You just got to be girded up. You get away from serving the Lord. I don't even know how you can expect to stay happily married without the Lord. I really don't. And so for some of y'all that's been in here married 30, 40 years and one of y'all don't know the Lord, you know, I salute you. I salute you. How you did it, you know. Maybe you got a great 401k worth staying for. I don't know how you do it. Whatever. Listen. Wherefore? Listen. Jermaine, listen to me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Amen.
Young brother, trying to marry with a wife and two kids. Listen, it's coming.
Amen.
You better make sure that it's on the rock.
Yes, sir.
Talk to somebody. Know what I'm talking about. I don't want to take you away from your children and your wife. Leave them unprotected and vulnerable. And you got to have something to fight back with. You ain't know. Our weapons ain't flesh and blood. It's the warfare spiritual. He said, listen, stand. You want to find out how to gird up? Having your loins gird about you with what? Truth. Truth. You can hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Say well. Strengthen you. And have it on the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Just the power and ability to do what's right. To do what's right. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, it's hard. Knock that person over. It's hard to knock somebody over when they're low. When they already sit low on the ground. It's hard to knock somebody. You can kick them. So when we get hurt, so hard. We so high and lifted up, it's easy to get knocked out like that. You don't watch no fighter come in the ring with his chin stuck out.
Uh-huh.
See, that's how we are. Oh, my feelings got hurt. Oh, my feelings got hurt. Yeah, you got to go a long way to hurt mine.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that right now. You got a long way to hurt my feelings. Because I'm low. And I'm trying to get lower.
Amen.
I'm trying to get lower. How low can you go? I'm trying to get low. We need to get low. That's how you gird up. You get low. Not only that, watch this. Not only will you have the whole armor of God, and you have your loins girded up with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking the shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So every once in a while, you're going to take a shot. Every once in a while, Jackie, you going to take one? Okay. Put the shield up. Let the shield get it. If you put the shield down, you're going to take it. Heart. Then you'll be hurt for a long time. Now, some folks have been hurt for a long time because they don't have the shield up. Put your shield up. Shield of faith. Look at this. And protect your mind. Protect your mind. Don't even gird it up. Protect your mind. Look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Protect what goes in and out of your mind. Protect it. Protect the counseling that you get. Some folks ain't for the right thing. And if they're not coming out of the Word of God, then you got to be careful with that counseling. Blessed is the man who walks what? Not in the counsel of the ungodly. See, some of us got Satan on speed dial. When we get out of here, what's happening? Where y'all meeting at? Ain't been to church. I'm going to have a hard time getting counsel from you. My wife may be acting a fool. I'm going to go to you. Listen. Not only that, we talking about girding up here. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What? Which is the Word of God. You ought to know how to handle this book. Just like any weapon you get. And if you go to any police academy, you're going to have to know how to handle that weapon. If you go to the Marines, you got to know how to handle that weapon. Clean it, take it apart, put it back together. Amen. So we don't know how to handle the Word of God. And that's why we just get blown away. Somebody say, ooh, that's deep. That ain't deep. Stupid. We don't know how to handle the Word of God. We need to know how to handle God's Word. What about the person who wants to be girded up? The person that God can use. Look at this last one. Praying always. Stop right there. Pray without ceasing. Paul will go on to tell the Thessalonians church, pray without ceasing. You ought to have an automatic prayer life. And you know, a lot of times I'll see a man like the one Teddy has, and I'll just pray for Teddy. I'll be out loud. I don't got to be walking through the mall, mumbling and all that. I just think about it. Think about Deacon Nails. I see something that reminds me of Deacon Nails. And I pray for him. I see a red Cavalier, I pray for Sylvia. I ride by the towers over there and I pray for Christine. I wonder what she's doing. I do. Something in the news about Campbell Schools, I think about Jasmine. I just do. It's automatic. But it's not this, you know, I got to go and lay down a rug and do this six times a day. I'm just praying all the time. And I mean, I rolled through Lincoln Knowles the other day, and let's look at the basketball court, and I rolled by Sister Wallace's house, and I prayed for him. Okay? Pray for him. Just what you do. Just what you do. You praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Listen, are you sagging spiritually? I can stay on that one a long time. Look at this next one. Sober. Peter says that the second point he says here in verse 13. Not only to gird up the loins of your minds, but he said, be sober. And again, we automatically, we don't want to drink. But he's not talking about drinking here. He's talking about spiritual sobriety. Now, some of the signs are the same. You know, some of the signs of a spiritually drunken, I don't even want to say Christian. Okay? A spiritually drunken churchgoer is the same as a spiritually drunken man. Look at this. One or two drinks. I just took this off. You know, I'll be getting stuff. One or two drinks. This is the effects. Relaxation. Decreased inhibition. and judgment. Decreased reaction time and alertness. Okay. That's about the average Christian. 3 or 4 drinks. Oh. A marked decrease in fine motor skills. This is the one that, hey, buddy, and he fall all over you. Reaction time and judgment may be clumsy, exaggerated behaviors. Yeah. 5 to 7 drinks. You know, I would say, wow. 5 to 7. Vision and perception affected, can be verbally argumentative, emotionally irrational. Sound like a lot of church folks. Further impairments in reaction time and judgment. These are 22,000 that left with Gideon's church, Pastor Gideon. How about 8 to 10 drinks? Oh, we getting there, huh? No, I used to tell my nieces, you go out on a date, young ladies. Kayla and some of you young ladies, Jasmine, go out on a date. If the man drink 3 on the first night, he's got problems. Because he's on his best behavior. He's on his very best. If he can drink 3 on the first night, that means, you know, he can knock down about 9 or 10. I'm being nice. Popping them. Watch him pop them drinks. Be careful with the drinkers. I know. Ain't nothing wrong with drinking. Ain't nothing wrong with having 8 or 9. You know? I know pastors, some pastors, you know, they brag about how much they can drink and still preach. Listen. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. 8 to 10. Staggering. This person's staggering now. Slurred speech, blurred vision, sensory and motor skills greatly affected, nauseous and vomiting. 10 or more. 10 or more. Stuporous. Maybe conscious but unaware of surroundings. What? That's a good one. Some folks are here, don't even know why they're here. Just here. Just here. Listen, how many of us know folks like that? And the problems of the world come, they turn back to the old ways. Jesus is saying you're going to do that once you get filled with the Holy Spirit. He talked about this. I thought this was interesting. I know this might sound like what we did with Jeremy last week, but in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, it talks about the man of God. The man of God we use. Bishop, the deacon. Okay? He said he must be blameless. Blameless. You can't accuse him of nothing. Amen. Can't be accused of nothing that's just a gross sin. You will be accused, though. But it can't stick. It can't, you know, after evaluating and studying this, it can't be true about this guy. The husband of one wife. How about that? The husband of one wife. He's not a womanizer. This is the man that God used, can't have problem with women. God can't use you. You can't have problem with women and be in leadership. Why? Because you go through the whole church. You go through the whole church. You know, I talked to one lady. She was single. She went to church and gave the people her address and a card and everything. And the man showed up. The deacon showed up at her house with a pair of shorts on. Come over, let's watch a movie together. See, stuff happens like that. See, the man God used has to be husband, one wife. Then he got to be vigilant, watchful, paying attention to himself, to his own desires and his own inhibitions and his own thoughts and ideas. They make sure they got lined up with the Word of God. This is why you have to stay in the Word of God. Amen. You have to stay in the Word of God. Of good behavior in the church. We talked about this last week. I don't want to be repetitious, but some things are worth repeating. Amen. Watching how you deal with people. Watching how you deal with women, the children, the men. Got all kinds of stuff going on in the church now. We talked about Sunday school this morning. Great lesson. Get the book. If you can't come to Sunday school, get the book. We got extra ones. Read the lessons. It's great. Read the lessons on your own. Put it in your car. You go to the doctor's office or whatever. Don't sit there and complain. Oh, this doctor's crazy. Always late. Take something. Take your word and read it. Amen. Maybe somebody in the waiting room need to hear the word of God. Need to see a man reading the Bible. They pour theirs out. Get the Sunday school lesson. If you give to the church, you pay for them and show books. Out of this melon to your houses. Give in the hospitality. He ought to be welcoming folks to his world. Okay? You ought to come over. Stop by. We ain't doing nothing. Me and Cindy might want to go out. We can stay and babysit. Listen. Look at this last one. I thought this was interesting because we're talking about being sober. Apt to teach. You know, you're not apt to teach. If you got your golf league, you got your fishing league, you got your hunting league, you got your NRA meetings to go to, you got your PTA, you got your bingo night, and you gotta get to the horse races now, and you gotta take your kids to soccer practice, baseball practice, football practice, tennis practice, swimming practice, archery practice, basketball camp, you a booster with the football team, you ain't apt to teach because you don't have time to study. You don't have time for the things of God. And then take it in the world. You take it in the world, and the world will take you out of the will of God. It will take you out of the will of God. If you think you can sit up and watch all them stations and still be in God's will and be able to do work for the Lord, you got another thought coming. Really? Really? I thought about this. A good example of churches. And I'm not gonna be exhausted with this because we're gonna get close with that community. I'm gonna show you seven churches. Seven churches found in Revelation that only two out of seven God found favor with. And the other five, all was indicted because they were not sober to their surroundings and the things that was going on, and they allowed sin and error to creep into the church and ruin the church. And God told these churches that they weren't right. Amen. Pergamos, Revelation 2:14. Listen. I'm going to look at this and I'm going to close. But this is a fascinating story. And he's talking about the church at Ephesus first. Ephesus church had what? They had everything. They had a lot going on. But they got caught up. And the word of God said they lost their first love. They didn't love the things of God. They didn't cherish the things of God. And when the man of God said, we're going to have vacation Bible school for 30 days. So these impoverished kids that don't have an opportunity to even go to church, we're going to be, Jack, I got so much going on. You go on your own, Pastor. I already do the van ministry. I already come out there and I clean the toilets and, I pick up paper in the parking lot. Now you're asking way too much. Second church. This is the one God loved. This is Smyrna. That word being crushed. Think about the church of Smyrna. Look what God says to this church. He says to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things say the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. You know why he's saying that? Because that's what this church preached. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Look what he said. I know thy works. In tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. They identified these folks. And they called them out. This church was on point. And they said, look at verse 10. And fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Why are they going to suffer? Because when you start standing on God's word and you are steadfast and unmovable, Satan's going to try to move you. Satan's going to try to move you to get you to conform. So you can be in the Baptist coalition with all the preachers sitting down in City Hall in the cold. Still talking about civil rights back in the 1960s. None of them work for a living. They got time to do that. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Why? Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You stand for God's word in the next 20 years. You're going to go to prison. You're going to go to jail. You're going to go to jail for speaking the truth. Amen. You get up here and you say, well, you know what? It's legal in Ohio. You can't preach about a homosexual. It's nothing wrong with it. I tell the inmates that. They cut them off.
Oh, man. Listen, man. I can't sell with no homosexual. I said, what's wrong with selling with a homosexual? The president says it's okay. They just people. They just normal guys. What's wrong with it? Oh, man, I can't. Oh, man, I'm cool with all that. I understand. I ain't got nothing against it, but I can't live with one. Why not? I said, you're scared to get turned out, ain't you? And they look at me like I'm crazy. I am. Preacher. Preachers are crazy. You're going to jail, preacher. Say one more thing about homosexuals. A homosexual come to the church, 501c3, and say, you know, I want to be a preacher. Well, not here.
Amen.
Think, dial us up. No, we don't have no 501c3. Well, we ain't buying a whole lot of stuff anyway like that, so we don't need the tax write-off. But for the mega church, they got to take it.
Yeah.
So you can't go to Walmart. If a gay person go to Walmart, say, I want to work in the auto department, they can say, no, this is for men only. And straight men too. No, Walmart can't do that. Church can't either. Let's keep moving. I like the church of Smyrna is the church that God loves. Look at Pergamos. And so the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things say, he which have a sharp sword and two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan is seated. Okay? Even where Satan is seated, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelt. But I have a few things against thee. This church did a whole lot of good stuff. But God had a few things against them. Know what he had? They're teaching. He says, I have a few things against thee because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit fornication. That's the church today. All you got going on. We got a lot of stuff going on here, but the teaching allows that stuff to sit in their churches because you won't preach the word of God and allow God to minister to these lost souls that come to your church. They're not wrong. I'm not preaching against a fornicator coming to this church or a homosexual coming in here. I pray that they do. But they have to hear the word. Because if they need to be delivered, that's all. They need to be born again.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to save them. We're not sitting here homophobic. I've heard that. Somebody called me homophobic. I'm not homophobic. I love homosexuals. But they need to be saved.
Amen.
They need to be delivered. Amen. And they being delivered is just the same as anybody else.
Yeah.
Need to be saved.
Amen.
And I preach it in love. I know I do. Man, I think I'm the most loving pastor in this town. I really do.
Amen.
I really do. So does Dave.
Amen.
And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira. Oh, this is one of the most popular sermons online that I preached on this. These things say the Son of God, who have his eyes likened to a flame of fire. He's a little angry. He's a little angry, God.
Uh-huh.
And his feet are likened unto fine brass. He's talking to this church, this angel. I know thy works and thy charity and the service and thy faith and patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. This church has some things going on. But notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. You know who Jezebel was? It was the pastor's wife. It was the pastor's wife, and she was the daughter of the king of Sidon. And the king of Sidon was an evil town, evil like Sodom and Gomorrah. And she was teaching in the church. Wonder what she was teaching from Sidon. Y'all better study this behind me. Don't let me just tell y'all anything. Listen. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, teaching to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. What did she do? And she repented not. She repented not. Some of us in that space right now. God gave us a space to repent. He gave us ample time. And then you wonder why your loved one may have run out.
You don't want a man to run out. That don't mean you need to stop ministering to him. And I can go on and on. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. I know. Verse 13. Last point. We talk about the new mindset in a mental sobriety. But we talk about a future focused on hope. I know I've been on heaven and hell and talking about heaven. And I still just think the word of God is just clear on it. Peter's talking about heaven right now, verse 13. This is what he says. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. I can't say that enough. Hope to the end. Y'all look at Deacon Nails. And if you don't have the grace of God, before you go into a situation, it's going to be hard getting out of it. Deacon Nell, we brag and boast about his enduring strength, but it's all based on the grace of God that sent him. God has given him that. And you got to have it before you go into the battle. No, you're not going to get it in the battle. You get it before you go in. And believe this, we are all heading there. So get it before you get in the battle, because when you get in the battle and they start talking about cutting off your toes and cutting off your hips and cutting off your fingers and taking your heart out and operating on it. You know what? Most folks die of stress. Most folks die of worrying about that. And I'm a witness to that. I had to go get an echocardiogram and I'm like, other than paying $3,500 for it with my insurance, that guy can drop me. But I was a little nervous about the results, because I'm a man just like you. And the doctor just, I went to the doctor's office. I was like, going in there, he's going to read me the results. And he said that he's got a strong heart. He said, your arteries, everything is good and clean. And I was like, whew, thank you, Jesus. But you know what? And I still would have struggled with that if he just said, you need immediate bypass surgery like he did Vernon. But you know what? When you can go in that operating room, knowing the grace of God, knowing that you have the power of God in your life, knowing that if everything goes wrong, you are right. You are right. If everything goes wrong, and they come back out, and the doctor come back out shaking his head, listen, worry about me. Don't worry about me. Because I'm going to be all right. I'll be all right. And I'm not sitting here talking about I want to come back. Well, they'll all be here in a minute. So, have that focused hope. Have that mindset, that new mindset. Get it. Gird up. When you see them young boys sagging, think about you. I'm sagging. I got areas in my life, my britches is down. I'm more exposed than him. We get on them. But church folk, we sagging. Folks need to be coming to the Lord. Look around. Look at the seats. Word of God going out. And the Word of God going out. And all the churches. Nobody had any problem getting to church this morning. Nobody, no traffic jams. 70% of our country. It's a Christian nation. The streets should be packed today. Sunday on the way to church. Folks wait for the golf courses to open. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the girding us up, Father God. Thank you for life and health. Thank you for those that are here, Father God, and has heard the word and have been strengthened and encouraged by it. Father, I just pray to Sister Pinky, Father God, as she faced that chemo, boy, she knows, Father God, she can say like Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I love my church, but you know, I'm going to be all right either way. Same with Sister Wallace, Father God. She have good days and bad days, Father God, but rest assured, she can say, I know whom I believe. I know whom I believe. And anyone else here, as I look around, you can sit there and say, you know what? The Lord truly is my shepherd. The Lord truly is my shepherd. Father, thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the attentiveness. Thank you for the children being quiet and attentive today. I ask that you would bless them, Father God. Let them know, Father God, that they are too young to give their lives to the Lord. and to make a decision for Christ and say, you know what, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm not going to give to school no more problems. I'm not going to give my parents no more problems. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to serve the Lord from now on. And God will answer that prayer and empower you to live that life. If I didn't believe that, I couldn't stand up here. And anybody looking around asking, man, you just treat Cindy like a queen. I treat Cindy like a queen, and them boys see it. All Cindy has to do is sit in that room, and I'm bringing her dinner to her, and I'm cooking and doing dishes because she is my queen.